Amen. Wasn't that great? I'll tell you what, that was such a blessing. Have you ever done that before, Chuck? The whole family like that? That's the first time. I know the men, the last time they sang, or one of the times they sang, I suggested that, and I was so pleased to see all of you singing. And the next suggestion would be all the grandchildren, too. That'd take up the whole platform, wouldn't it? But I'll tell you what, that was a blessing. And it kind of ties right in with the message. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. I think of Chuck and Donna, of course, their heritage, their families having a big part in the starting of this church, and just a good Christian heritage. And then Chuck and Donna, of course, their children coming to church faithfully, Sunday school. I mean, just week after week after week hearing the preaching. And faithful in church, loving the Lord, and that's the way it should be. And it's a great work. It's a great work. You know, if you can reach your family, you've done a great work. If you can have your family still in church and serving the Lord, you've done a great work. And Nehemiah is facing that here in Nehemiah 6. I told you when we got to Nehemiah 6, we were going to be in Nehemiah 6 a while. And sure enough, that is so true. Nehemiah 6 and verse 3. Well, let's start at verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Yeah, a little slow on that, but we'll take it. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. And we talked last week about this this passage, and tonight I just want to key on the little phrase there. I am doing a great work in verse 3. I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. Don't bother me. I'm busy. Don't interrupt me again. I got something going on. Sometimes you need to tell the devil, just get out of my way. I've got work to do. I was saying with Chuck and Donna, I mean, surely many things pulled on them from the world and many times Satan pushed at them and they just said, hey, we got a great work here. We got these kids that need to hear about Jesus. We got our young people need to be in church and we've got a great work to do. And that's what Nehemiah, he said, I'm doing a great work. And I want to talk to you about that little phrase tonight. I'm doing a great work. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, and thank you for all the good music. Thank you for the violins, and what a blessing that was. And God, what a joy to hear that, the offertory and the choir special and all the singing. It's just been such a blessing to my heart. And Lord, I pray that it will tie together now in the message. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, work, sad to say, is a four-letter word for a lot of people. You know, we just don't like it. And more, I believe, we're seeing this with our young people. We have several people in the church that are businessmen, and they talk about how hard it is to hire somebody that will actually work, how hard it is to find somebody that'll put in the hours and actually work the whole time without wanting to be on break most of the time. And the more businessmen I talk about that, the more we're seeing it's just hard to find anybody who will work. It's hard to find people that will actually work hard and work until the job is done. And so, therefore, we have more people on welfare, more people that are struggling. They're just not willing to work. I mean, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And if a man doesn't work and provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. And yet, we don't see a whole lot of work going on. But it passes on, not in the workplace as far as making money, but we see it so clearly in church. We see it in God's work. We see it in the ministry where people are just not necessarily willing to put the work into it. You know, the greatness, I believe, of a work, kind of depends on our view of that work. It kind of depends on just how we look at the work. That's why so many people, they struggle with this. You know, I think about my dad who worked at RCA, and one of the things I remember so clearly about my dad is I don't remember him ever missing work. Now, did he love his job? I don't think so. I don't think it was the job. I think it was the fact that he had a responsibility. That was his work, and he was going to be at work. I remember many times when it would be 4 o'clock in the morning, and I would hear the shoveling sound of Dad shoveling the driveway so that he could get out and go to work. And so many times I would say later on in the day, Dad, why didn't you just stay home? I mean, we didn't go to school because of the snow. And he said, well, son, they're counting on me to be at work, and I got to work. You know, the greatness of a work depends on how you look at it. I mean, if you're casual about it, you probably won't work hard. If you don't care about it, you probably won't finish it. If it's not a big deal, you probably won't think anything of it. That's why Nehemiah says here, I'm doing a great work. He looked at his work and he says, it's a great work. He looked at his work. By the way, is he a king? No. Is he even a commander of some kind? No. Is he building this great city? No. What's he doing? He's building a wall. But you know what? Here's how he looked at it. He said, this is a great work. It's a great work. Hey, nursery worker, it's a great work that you do in the nursery. Hey, bus driver, it's a great work that you do when you drive the bus. And if you ever look at it like you're not doing a great work, if you ever look at it like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter, then you probably, it'll probably never get done the way that it could be done. It all depends how you look at it. Amen. To my dad, RCA was his job. It was his work, and it was important. He had to be there. He wasn't the president. He wasn't the CEO. He wasn't the super, or the head of the whole thing. But to him, that was a great work. And you know, if you would just look at your work as a great work, like Nehemiah did, I think it would change your attitude in how you do your work. I think it would change your attitude in just being casual and all that. I'm thinking of a nursery worker years ago. That I remember she had surgery on Friday, and it wasn't major surgery, but it was pretty major surgery. And she had surgery on a Friday, and on Sunday morning she was in the nursery. And I remember asking her about that, and you know, hey, I thought you had surgery Friday. She said, well, yeah, I did, but this is my job. I'm going to be in the nursery. And you know, so many people, sad to say, look for an excuse to miss. That's because that's how you look at your work. Amen. Like it doesn't really matter. I mean, how about looking for an excuse and a reason to get there like Nehemiah? It's a great work. I mean, honestly, he could have gone to Ono. Yeah, always say that when you think about Ono here. That's an Ono situation, I guarantee, because they thought to do him mischief. That's what we learned last week, in case you weren't here last week. That's why, because they thought to do him mischief. But you know, he could have said, hey, they got some nice restaurants there in Ono. Oh, that was real quick. But they've got some nice places to go there, and they've got to see. You thought I was going to say it again, didn't you? And boy, we can have some great fellowship, and I'm sure Sanballat and Geshem, I'm sure they're going to buy. You know, you always think that when somebody invites you, right? You expect them to buy, and he could have come up with all kinds of excuses to get out of the work, but he said no. He said it's a great work. It's a great work. I mean, I cannot go because I got a great work to do. Amen. And you know, what was Nehemiah a pastor? No. Was he a king? No. He's just building a wall. But it's his attitude. He said, "It's a great work. It's a great work that I am doing." And Nehemiah was not, you know, he wasn't commanding a great army. I mean, you would have thought that maybe, not building a temple. He's just building these walls, not glamorous. You know, I doubt that anybody's going to take pictures of the walls, you know, and say, wow, look at our walls. But you know what? To him, it was a great work. I wish your Sunday school class would be that to you. I wish your bus route would be that to you. I wish your Christian school classroom would be that to you. I wish your job, whatever it is, whatever little task it might be, it may be small as far as taking not much time. It may be something that doesn't take a whole lot of effort, but I wish that you would decide that, hey, my work is a great work. I wish that we would get the attitude as Nehemiah that I have a great work that God wants me to do. And I'm excited about that. And that's the way he looked at it. It was important. It was God's will. It was for the people. And he had a great work. You know, God had blessed the wisest and richest man, Solomon, and Ecclesiastes 9:10. He said this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That's a guy who's saying, I got a great work to do. That's the wisest man that lived outside of Jesus. That's the richest man. He could have just sat back and done nothing. But he said, no, he said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Why? Because it's a great work. It's a great work. And boy, you know, what kind of works do we do? What kind of works do we do? I think about a work in our lives. You know, as God is working in our lives, is that a great work or not? Well, it all depends how you look at it. I mean, as a pastor, I look at it as the most important thing going on. You know, God working in your life. You get saved and then you grow. That's how it's supposed to be. We get saved and we grow and we grow and we grow and we grow. By the way, you don't stop growing. Well, you know, I'm 65 years old now and No. Doesn't matter how old you are. You just keep growing till you see Jesus someday. And we're supposed to just keep growing. How about the work in our lives? How about a work? God says in Philippians 1:6, He's going to finish a work. He said He started it in you and He's going to finish it. Are you excited about your work? Are you excited about, remember the day that you went from drinking milk to eating meat? I'm talking about spiritually now. I don't think you remember so well back when you were that young. Some of you might, because it hadn't been that long ago, but others would have a little trouble with that. But, you know, God's work in you, does it matter? Again, if it's a great work, well, we you know, remember when you first got saved, how excited you were? God was working, stuff was happening, remember? I mean, you'd hear a message and you'd say, oh, man, that's everything about me. And you'd go forward, you'd get right with God, and boy, you'd be so excited about that. And you'd watch God working in your life and you'd be excited about it. And all of a sudden now it's kind of like, oh. And that's how you look at God working in your life. It doesn't matter anymore. Invitations come and go, and it's no big deal. In fact, you're kind of glad, you know, I wish they'd hurry up. I wish, oh, no, there goes old so-and-so. They always go forward. You ever catch yourself saying that? You know, that's sad. You used to be excited about those things because God was working in your life. You used to be thrilled about the invitation, and now it's kind of like, oh, I dread this. Oh, listen, if you just look at the work, God Almighty, the God, you know, you think it would have been something to watch God form a mountain, you know, as He speaks, and God to dig an ocean as He speaks. The greatest work He does is us, in our hearts and in our lives. How sad when it's just a ho-hum kind of a thing to us. How sad. You know, I was thinking about last Sunday night and these young people up here after going to the youth conference. And I promise you there were folks sitting there going, oh, I wish they'd hurry up. And what you should have been doing was like this in your seat. You know, woo, getting excited because God's working in people's lives. You ought to be fired up about that thing. And you ought to be excited about God working in you. Remember the first time you tithed? Remember when you got baptized? Remember the first time you led a soul to Christ? Oh, God's working in my life. And it was a great work to you. But, hey, don't stop. Don't pause. Don't say, hey, well, you know, I'm getting too old for this. No, you don't get too old. It's a great work. Keep growing. Keep growing. You know, a lot of times that's what happens during the summer. People can be real excited in the spring and then summer comes and all of a sudden, boy, things just slow down. They grind to a halt. Hey, is it a great work or not? Is it a great work or not? You young people, you went to 3 different conferences and camps. And you made all these decisions. And you know, don't just stop with that. Is it a great work or isn't it? Was it a great work God did when He spoke to your heart? You were there. You knelt at the altar. You shed the tears. Was it great or was it not great? I get nervous when people come, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I didn't really mean it. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You really meant it then. You just don't mean what you think now. Yeah, it was a great work then. And it should still be a great work. It's God working. You know, when God speaks to our heart, He goes all that trouble to convict us. He goes all that trouble to you know, cause us to not be comfortable during that invitation, and the sweat breaks out on the brow, and we tremble just a little bit, and we're hesitant. We kind of peek and look around who's going forward and everything, and He goes to all that conviction in our lives. It's a great work. So why would we just push it aside as if it were nothing? Why would we quit? Why would we not care anymore? You see, we need to keep ourselves revived. Keep our guard up. Hey, you seniors. Oh yeah, you've been longing for this time. It's a great work God's doing in your life. You young people going off to college. That's what we've been shooting toward. And here you go. Still a great work. Still a great work. God has brought you through all kinds of things to get you off to Bible college. It's a great work. How do you look at it? Are you casual about it? Or are you excited about it? A great work. Boy, I could just go on. You started reading your Bible January 1. You say, I kind of thought that was coming. Yeah. You were going to read through your Bible. That was such a great work. You got those little Bible reading slips. You were all excited. You checked those off first thing. And when you turned in your first slip for January, you kind of looked around to see if anybody saw you putting it in. You were so excited. By the way, that's not so bad because you're excited. Never done it before. And you even made it through Leviticus. You say, I didn't really get much out of it. That's all right. You did it. Amen. And you put that thing in there for Leviticus, and you said, well, glory to God. And it was a great thing then. I don't know what took you away from that. It's still just as great as it was then. If you'd get it that way in your heart. You know what? You started to pray. And you were going to pray. And you were so excited about praying. And the first time you prayed, you thought you went for an hour, and it was 5 minutes. Remember? And you say, well, I don't know about how long it was, but I know it's a great work. I'm supposed to pray. And God spoke to my heart about it. Why isn't it important anymore? Why isn't it such a big deal? First time you went soul winning, remember? It was a great work. I'm going to tell people how to be saved. And you went to the door and you said all kinds of unique things. I remember one lady, the first time she went soul winning, they knocked on the door. It was her turn to talk. And the people came to the door and they said, hi. And she said, hi, I'm so-and-so from such-and-such church. She said, are you saved? That isn't what you're supposed to do. Same person, next house. They went. They got inside and she got talking and got so nervous, she started to leave and she went into the closet. But you know what? She was excited. Because it was a great work. It was keeping people out of hell. It was her doing what she could do. Why didn't it matter anymore? Why isn't it important now? That's why Paul had to say to the Hebrews, let's go on. We need to go on. We need to keep moving. It's great what we're doing. Maybe you had some kind of a trial. Maybe you had some financial problem. Maybe you had some sin in your life that has caused you to look at that work as not so important anymore. Well, I was thinking about these. I started to say young people. Well, Alicia's not too old. But the group here playing the violins. And I remember when they started their first time. And they just started taking lessons. And I thought, you know, it's a great work to do that. What a blessing that was to me. I was thinking of Nicole playing over here playing the offertory. What a beautiful song that was. And somewhere along the line, I mean, she started playing the piano. And she started out with Jesus Loves Me, maybe one finger at a time. Kind of like the way I type. And she started out like that. And then she plays this beautiful song. Hey, you know what, Nicole? It's not over, though. It's still a great work. Keep playing. Learn more. Hey, violinists, keep playing. Learn more. It's a great work. Anything that we do for God is a great work. And as God works in our hearts and in our lives, it's just how you look at it. The things that, you know, used to be, boy, I'm so excited about this. Make it great again. Make that decision at camp great again. Make that call of God in your life great again. Well, I'll tell you, I remember when God called me to preach, and there's nothing like that in all the world. Now, I have to admit, there have been times Satan's kind of pulled on that. And Satan's kind of slapped me around with that. But I just keep it great. It's a great work. It's a great work that God would call us to do. What is it that the work in your life? How about your home? How about your home? It's a great work in the home. It's a great work. I watched the Pearsons standing up here, and I think of you know, they, you know, Chuck and Donna could have given up a long time ago, but they kept it a great work. They made it a great work. Not just any old work. Not just something you do kind of halfway, but something that, hey, this is priority. And building a home and letting God build your home is, it's a great work. It's a great work. When's the last time you thought of your marriage as a great work? Boy, some folks are so casual about it. It's not a big deal. You know, sir, I want to remind you, when you dated her, you thought it was a big deal then. You put forth effort. You put forth time. You put forth energy. You put forth money. Remember? You were so excited. You'd actually think about things, even write little poems. They never rhymed, but she loved them. Everybody else would have thought they were silly, but she appreciated it. You know why you did that? It was a great work. Why isn't it a great work anymore? Sir, seriously, why isn't it a great work anymore? Well, like most men would have to say, well, I've got her. You wouldn't say that with her next to you. But that's what most men would have to say. Well, preacher, I don't have to win her anymore. Really? Since when? You need to keep winning her. And keep winning her. And keep winning her. If it was a great work then, why isn't it now? Do you know why so many people get divorced today? It's because they quit working. They decided it's not so important. Marriage is work. Boy, it's quiet on me. You guys are scaring me to death tonight. I've just added 10 minutes to the message. Marriage is work. Now they start to amen. I know. Oh, you know that wife? When you were dating, I mean, she would work hard getting that face all the way it was supposed to be and getting that hair all the way it was supposed to be. And ma'am, now you let him see you in curlers half the time? I don't understand. You say, well, preacher, I mean, come on, we're already married now. You ought to be more on fire than you've ever been. It's all right, we'll buy new flowers. You ought to be more excited than you've ever been. But it's not great to you anymore. It doesn't matter if she melts in your arms. Arms? You say, we don't even hold hands. You are a nut. No wonder you don't smile in church. I'm serious. It's a great work. It's a great work. Your home is a great work. And why don't we make it important? Remember when you had family devotions? Because it was a great work. Because you, sir, were the prophet, priest, and king of your home. And you said, we're gonna pray together. We're going to read the Bible together. We're going to sit around and talk about the things of God together. And it was a big thing. But now, television's more important? What is it? I'm telling you, it's still a great work. It's a great work. Remember when you took discipline seriously? You actually took the time to discipline your kids instead of just yelling and screaming at them, which isn't discipline. You took time to discipline. You took time to sit down and show them in the Bible what the Bible says. And because you know why you did that? Because it was great to you. It was a great work. It was something that had to be done. Remember when coming to church was important to you and having your family in church and having your family in Sunday school, and now that's not so important anymore. Oh, I know you're going to have them in Sunday school so they can come to our school. That's pitiful. It used to be, I can't wait to get my kids in Sunday school and in church. And like these little ones just saying, you know, about going to Sunday school. I'm amazed how many people skip it. And how many parents are the cause of it. But see, it's not great to you anymore. Learning the Bible's not great to you anymore. And I don't understand it. Because it used to be a great work. And of course, a great work in our church. It is great. It is a great, great, great work. Because most of our community is going to hell. Most of the people in our county are going to hell. It is a great work. I can't even imagine how important our missions conference is this year because of the great work that's ahead. I mean, I'm getting calls. I'm getting letters. There are more and more people. I mean, we're preaching for them to go to the field. And we're preaching for young people. You hear us all the time surrendering to be missionaries. But who's going to pay for it?
You say, well, God will, bless God.
Yeah, but is it great to you? I mean, honestly, I've not really gotten involved in trying to get a lot of money at missions conference, but I am convinced that if we would quit drinking so much coffee, quit eating so much at McDonald's, quit eating so much out, and doing so many things that really we don't have to do, we'd be able to send more missionaries out. I'm convinced of it. But see, it's got to be great to us. It's got to be a great work. Because if it's a great work, we will make the sacrifices. It won't bother us. I remember my first faith promise. I was just saved and didn't know anything about missions, but the preacher preached and he talked about faith promise and he challenged us. And I remember writing on a little card that I would give $5 a week. I still can remember, I clearly remember putting that $5, writing that on there, and I was going to get $5 a week. And I had no idea where I'd get $5. But I remember putting that in there every week. $5, $5, $5 every week. Miss a week, the next week I put in 10. You know why I did that? Because it was a great work. Not only was it a great work because I was convinced that missions was important, but it was a great work because I gave my word. And that meant something to me. Does it mean anything to you? It's a great work, the church. There's nothing like the church in all the world. Honestly, there's nothing like it. It is amazing. And it's obvious when God's hand is on the church. It's obvious when souls are getting saved and lives are being changed. It's a great work that we do. And I'm just trying to convince you tonight, you know, Satan hates this great work. And he'll do anything he can to stop, as he did here with Nehemiah. But Nehemiah said, it's a great work. Hey, what is it that you do? Do you drive a bus? That's a great work. Do you clean restrooms? That's a great work. Do you work in the nursery? Boy, what a great work. Do you greet people at the door? That's a great work. It doesn't matter. I mean, put any title to it. If it's God's work, then it's a great work. It's a great work. Let me just give you some things here real quick. I've got a lot of stuff here, but let me just say why it's great and ask you, really, why is your work, why is it great? And I think I can answer that. Number one, it's great because it needs to be done. I mean, Nehemiah, somebody had to build the wall. It was a great work because it needed to be done. But let me ask you, or does it? Or does it? What is it you're thinking about right now? You made the decision at camp. You made the decision at the youth conference. Okay, does it really need to be done? Oh, preacher, if you knew what it... Okay, does it really need to... Then it's great. Then it's a great work. You're the one that said, I will drive a bus. God's laid it on my heart. Does it need to be done? Sure it does. That's a great work then. It's great because it needs to be done. Nehemiah saw a need and he volunteered, but God had laid it on his heart. God had made it all happen. Remember, as we've studied this, God put everything together and made it happen. Including the burden, including the conviction, and made it happen. Do you know God put everything together for your work too? God's the one that put it on your heart. God's the one that gave you the vision. God's the one, and the fact that it is not happening right now, the fact that it's not being done ought to show you even more how great it is, because it's not happening. Because you're not doing it. It's a great work because it needs to be done. Number two, it's a great work because you can do it. That's the thing that's always excited me. When God called me to preach, I said, as Moses said, I can't do that. But thank God I was able to learn that, you know what? If God says, this is what I want you to do, I can. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What is it in your life? What is the work? I'm telling you, you name it. If it's a great work or the great work that God has called you to do, you can do it. I'll have a teenager come, I guarantee, somewhere along the line. Preacher, at camp, I made this decision, but I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. Amen. And that's why it's a great work, because you can do it. Hey, if it was just something anybody could do, then God wouldn't get the glory, would He? But it's something that you can do. It's something that's going to be tough for you to do, but you can do it. You will do it. For some of you, that's Bible college. Hey, we've got a young lady at Hiles Anderson College right now, Brittany, who has called me, and she's come home probably 20 times in the last year. But she never did come home. But on the phone she did. Pastor, I just can't handle it. Pastor Rogers, can I just come home? Pastor Rogers, just let me come home. I just can't. I just need to be home. And Brittany, you're going to be all right. We love you. God bless you. God called you to do it, right? Yes, He did. Well, Brittany, if God called you, you can do it. She said, I know I can, but I just needed to hear it again. Okay, goodbye. She called me the other day and she said, Pastor, she said, I'm sorry. I said, what are you sorry for? She said, because I had a bad attitude the other day. Well, that's the same Brittany. Same Brittany that we had to remove from our services a couple times. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm just saying, she can do it. And I tell her every time, I say, you know what? You can do it. Preacher, you don't understand. I say, oh, wait, listen, you can do it. Well, how do you know, preacher? Because God called you to do it, so you can do it. Are you listening? That's somebody here tonight. You can too. You can do it because it's your work. And it's great because you can do it. It's great because you can do it. And listen to me, you may be the only one who can do it. You ever think about that? You may be the only one who can do it. I remember the first time Brother Hiles came to our church in Indiana. And I was still very, very young as a preacher. And I was absolutely terrified to have him there. And he sat in my little office there and we were talking and I was scared to death. And he said, brother, he said, don't be so nervous. He said, you know, he said, in fact, he said, you know, this is so true. He looked around at our church. He said, I could not do what you're doing here. I just kind of, yeah, you know, you're just saying that you want a good love offering or something. No. But, I said, what? I kind of laughed. He said, no. He said, I could not do what you're doing here. And I said, well, you're doing, your church is 400 times bigger. And he said, that isn't what I'm talking about. He said, I couldn't do what you're doing here because God called you here. And I mean, you know, that rang a bell. I started to realize how great the work is. Why? Because I can do it. Because if I couldn't do it, God wouldn't have called me to do it. If you couldn't teach a Sunday school class, God wouldn't have called you to do it. If you couldn't run the bus route, God wouldn't have called you to do it. If you can't play the violin, God wouldn't have told you to. If you can't play the piano, God wouldn't have told you to. If you can't sing, God wouldn't have given you a good voice. But since you have that, and since you can do it, it's a great work. It's great. You can do it. What an awesome thing. And you know, you're going into fourth grade, you can do that too. And you're going into 10th grade, oh, I can't take it, all this math and science. You can do it though, you know why? Because you're doing it. And it's a great work. And look at it, it's a great work. It's not just another year. It's a year that God can use you, and God can do a great work in you. And number three, you can do it now. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Because what we like to do is put off the work. Amen. Amen. Boy, we love to put it off, don't we? Procrastinate. We're good at it. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, I don't need to do it now. I'll do it tomorrow. No, it's a great work because you can do it now, today, right now. Right now. I love this. Nehemiah, he says in verse 3, when they come to him, he says, I am doing a great work. Could he have waited? No, he's doing it now. He's doing it. Well, yeah, but preacher, I mean, he could have taken a break and gone off and met with those fellas. And no. He's doing a great work. And if he's doing a great work, to stop it means it stops a great work. You can do it now. Opportunity is now. Do the work now. And you know, you're doing it until you're not doing it. You ought to write that down. That's pretty deep. Huh? Well, if it's a great work, how in the world could we stop? How could you stop? Well, you know, I made a decision to quit listening to the wrong music when I was at camp, and boy, it's hard. Yeah, it's a great work. Keep going. Just keep doing it. Keep listening to the right music. Keep going. You say, well, I'm running out of CDs. Come see the preacher. I'll get you a CD. Amen. I'll get you the right music because it's a great work. Let's keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Well, you know, I made a decision not to watch the wrong things. Well, bless God. Just keep going because it's a great work. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Don't talk about it. Oh, we love to put it off. There's folks in this room still saying, one of these days I'm gonna, and you haven't now for 20 years. I'll never forget the fellow that told me, and I suppose when he told me this, he was in his 50s. He just died recently. But he said, God called me to preach years ago, and I never went. And he said, maybe one of these days I'll go. And he died just recently. You can do it now. It's a great work. And then, number four, you can do it successfully. Again, is it God's will? Again, we're talking about any number of things. It could be your job. It could be your ministry. It could be so many things. It could be your life. It could be your family. It could be your home. I'm just saying this. You can do it successfully. I mean, if it's God's will. You know, God says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, being confident, if he started it in you, okay, again, let's go back to camp. Let's go back to that youth conference, young person. Let's go back there, okay? Pastor wasn't there poking you in the back. Your mom and dad weren't there nagging you about that thing. Now listen to me, that was you and God. That was real. That was you and God. And God was saying to you, hey, this is a work you need to begin. Nobody else was bugging you about that. That's one of the great things about conferences and camp, because you're away from everything else. You're away from all those distractions. And all of a sudden, it's just you and God. And God put that on your heart. Now, listen to me. You can do it successfully because God put it there. You can be successful being confident. Confident. Boy, you know, that's what got me through Bible college, to be honest with you. I didn't know how. Bills had to be paid. I mean, my wife and I, we struggled. And yet, you know, every time we had to have money, God provided it. But we worked hard. And I had to work hard to get good grades. But over and over and over again, I said, God, you called me to do this. And if God calls me to do it, I know I can do it. Now, some of you need to get that in your mind and in your heart, that God is going to enable you to be successful at the great work. You get discouraged because you fall. You get discouraged because you fail. You get discouraged because things aren't going the way you think they ought to go in your great work. Just keep going. Just keep going. You can do it successfully. Some of you need to take this message to you or take it with you to Bible college, because you will be so close to giving up and quitting and doing all kinds of strange things. You listen to me. You will be a success if God told you to do that. You just put a big sign up that says, it's a great work. Hey, freshman in college, it's a great work. Your life is a work that our God is confident. He says, you should be confident. I started working in you when you were a little baby. I started working in your life. Now you let me finish. You just keep going. It's a great work. It's an awesome work, and you can do it successfully. I watch over here. I remember, Alicia, you started playing the violin when we started that several years ago. Is that right? And there she was. She's, I guess, lead violinist. Is that right? Not quite. Some of these young ones are. Isn't that awesome? That's even more awesome. Because she just keeps going. But here they are. You know, I remember they started out and it probably sounded like, "Eah." You know, Sharon's back there. She probably knows how it sounded. But you know, it's like, yeah, but God wants me to do this. God wants me to do this. Boy, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? God wants me to do it. You can do it too. Successfully. Number five, it's a great work because you can do it for Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all for the glory of God. You can do it for Jesus. It's one of the most amazing things about it all. Is we can do it for Jesus. I could. You mean I could work nursery for Jesus? Yeah, it's for Jesus. Every bit as much as me standing behind this pulpit is for Jesus. You can work in the nursery for Jesus. You can teach a Sunday school class for Jesus. You can shovel snow off of sidewalks for Jesus. You can mow grass for Jesus. You can clean toilets for Jesus. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? Well, preacher, I can do stuff for Jesus. Yeah, you can do it for Jesus, and that makes it a great work. And it gives Him glory now. When you do something for Jesus, it gives God glory with your life. You don't have to wait till the judgment seat. He gets glory now when you do anything for Him. Isn't that great? That's just an amazing thing. Glory for Him now, crowns for you later, which you give to Him. But you hear the words, well done. That makes it a great work. We have no idea. No idea what that day is going to be like. We have no idea what it's going to be like to see Jesus face to face. And to see His nail-scarred hands. And to see the One who died for us and loved us. And He loves us. And to hear Him say, well done. That's why it's a great work. It's a great work. Great work. I had no idea when God called me to preach. I didn't even know what that meant. I had no idea. I knew I'd have to go to Bible college. I had no idea what that meant. There was a Wesleyan college in our town, and I thought I'd have to go there. I had no idea what it meant to go to a Baptist college. I had no idea what it meant to stand up and preach to people. I just knew that it was a work God had called me to do. And when I found out, Brother Johns, that all that I do could be for Jesus, I thought about all He's done for me. And it makes it a great work. It's a great work. And when a Sanballat and a Geshem, and they come along and they say, "Yeah, I'd like to take you out to eat, and we'll party a little bit. We can do some things, have a good time. Maybe go watch some sports or something." It's like, you got to be kidding me. First of all, you guys are turkey buzzards. They're the bad guys. Remember, we learned that last week. And second of all, if you had any concept of the great work I'm doing. If you had any concept, hey, nursery worker, that ought to be your attitude next Sunday. When Aunt Frieda calls and says, "Honey, let's go out for breakfast at Bob Evans this morning. You don't need to go to that church." You say, "Aunt Frieda? Oh, no." Right. "Aunt Frieda, you don't understand. There's little babies in there that I got to take care of." "Well, but honey, you've done that for many years." "Oh, no. I got, that's right. You don't understand. I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a great work." Or the relatives call and say, "Well, you don't need to drive that bus this week. They can get somebody else to do it. Let's go out for breakfast." You say, "Well, you don't understand. That's my job. It's a great work. It's a great work." Some job calls you freshman in college, and, "Hey, we'll give you some money now." And you say, "You don't understand. God called me to go to college. I got a great work to do, and nothing's going to keep me from it. What is your great work tonight? What is your great work? Some of you teenagers, you need to go back to that night, those nights, times at the altar, here, camp, conferences, chapel. You need to go back there, and you need to remember what a great work God put in your heart to do. And when the world and the flesh and the devil come and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, come on over here with us. You say, you don't get it, do you? You just don't get it. Some teenager says, hey, let's go to this party and nobody will know it'll be. Oh, you don't get it. I got a great work to do. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords has called me. I got something to do here. I got to do it. And you know what? You'll finish that job as Nehemiah finished the wall. And you'll know when you hear Jesus say, well done, just how great the work really was. Let's bow our heads.